Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit. What's good, Fatherhood? My oldest loves video games, so today I asked a longtime friend who just so happens to be the number one video game personality in the world, Hot 97's own Mr. Hip Hop Gamer, to come through. What's good, Hip Hop Gamer?
Yeah, I'm here, baby. What's going on, son? My dude Jay, man, love you, bro. I haven't seen you in like knows how long, but it's just great to hear your voice, man. Real talk, son. And shout out to Killer Cap, Anthony Frazier, Jersey stand up. That's my dude. And just seeing y'all together all the time. Yo, it's love, man.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. You know, before we get into it, man, like, I remember the first time I met you, it was because of Anthony Frazier. And we were going to go speak at PAX East, which was a huge video game conference. You know, I had nothing to do with the video game world. I just played it. I didn't know what was going on. And Anthony was like, yo, you got to fuck with this dude, man. Like, you got to mess with Hip Hop Gamer. And the first time I saw you, I saw that big championship belt you rock.
Yeah, man.
And I'll never forget that, bro. Your branding is on point.
Yeah, thanks, man. Like, see, now I got the chain, like, to go with it. I got the big, chain to rock with the belt. And so that's funny. And the thing is, with the belt, I had so many different variations of the belt that finally the belt itself came into its own. And, you know, now, rest in peace, I got my grandmoms on the belt and I got my son on my belt. So everywhere I go, you know, I got them, you know, right with me, across my heart. You know what I'm saying?
How old is your son?
He's five.
He's 5 years old.
Six
this year, man. Happy early birthday.
It's on the same day.
What? Oh, come on, man. Look at that. You throwing my conversation completely off. Let me ask you, how does that feel, bro? How does that feel to give birth, to see wifey give birth to your child on your birthday, dogs? That's insane.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, she not, you know, like wifey. Me and my son's mother ain't together and stuff like that. So this is crazy. True story, son. So when she was giving birth, like, you know, she had to have a C-section. Mm-hmm. So one thing that's real crazy, because they tell you, like, don't look, because it's, like, real disgusting.
but
I looked anyway, and I was like, yo, this is, oh, like, yo, this is real. This ain't no, like TV show. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is really, my son is inside you. Like that's in the belly cut. Yo, that joint was.
That's insane.
That was a sight. That was a sight right there. That was crazy. But right before my son came out, like, my son was born at 12:25, p.m. And what was crazy about it is, like, when you think about 12:25, you know, December 25th, Christmas Day, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you think about the numbers. And then, when my son being born, literally right before, like, he was born, I would probably say, like, around 12:22, while the doctors is working and everything, I forgot how it started, but we had said something about a game, yo. And we was talking about Heavy Rain right before my son was born while he was still inside. Like it was mad funny. Then he came out. They washed him off, had to put the drops in his eyes. I cut the umbilical cord. And it was a beautiful moment. And definitely a life-changing beautiful moment immediately. Like, the moment you hear the cry, the moment you
everything changes.
Touch him, like, it is
shit gets real. Shit gets real.
A miraculous moment. Yeah,
shit gets real quick. But that's crazy, because, like, me as an adult now, my wife stayed trying to throw, like, birthday parties for me. Like, the last one she did for me was when I was 35, and it was a surprise birthday party. And I'm just not that type of dude. But if my son is born on the same day as me, yo, we partying every single year, because I can't just let him rock out by himself that day. It just doesn't make sense.
November 27th, man.
That's your birthday and your son's birthday?
Yeah. It's me and my son's birthday. We share the same birthday.
Yo, that's my middle child, bro. That's my middle child.
You serious?
Yeah, he's gonna be 7 this year.
November 27th?
Yes, sir.
Wow, that is crazy. I told you we family, son.
That's it, man. We not just from New York, man. We fed.
Oh, wow. Well, congratulations, man.
Thank you. All right, so back to the interview. So my son, he loves video games. This dude is a Fortnite lover. That's all he wants to play, right? So you love video games. I mean, you made a career off of this. That was your first love, right? My first love was the Atari 2600, right? So my question to you, to keep it as real as possible, is will video games fuck my kids up?
No, man. Seriously? Yo, I'm glad you... that's a great question. So I always like to use myself as an example because nobody knows me better than me and God. You understand what I'm saying? So first off, like, when I... The first video game I ever played was Pac-Man, right? Atari 2600. And my grandmother, rest in peace, taught me how to play video games when I was four because she used it also as a tool to keep me off the street because I grew up in East New York, Brooklyn. And growing up in East New York, Brooklyn, especially in the 80s, was a completely different world than what you see today, okay? So that was the first thing. And then when I played Nintendo Mario, Super Mario and Duck Hunt, that's when I became a gamer. Like that was it. Like at that time, I was like, you know what? This is going to be my life. I loved games that much. Like, you know, and me and my grandmother shared such a strong bond, you know, through the games. And I love my grandma. So it was just the perfect thing for me, right? So that's one. Two, video games helped me do good in school.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because
hit me. This I want to know right here.
I remember, I think I was in fifth grade, and I came home, and I had six U's on my report card. So, you know, unsatisfactory. And my pops beat me. When I mean beat me, he not only did, see, I didn't mind if I got beat, but then I was still able to, like, do stuff.
Yeah.
He would beat me and then punish me. So, the punishment was so bad because I couldn't play the game for 2 weeks straight.
Oh, man.
And it was so traumatizing to me as a kid that it straightened me up. Like, I did good in school. Like, chores was done. Like, everything. I was the good Samaritan for real at an early age. Simply because, like, the impact games had on me helped to correct my behavior. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I love games so much. That's one. But two, games helped me with my focus. Now, think about it. I'm a journalist today. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be sharp. You got to be witty. You got to be on point with a lot of things. Like, you got to be focused. And games was the beginning of, like, my, like, genuine focus. Because being able to win in levels, you know, compete with my, you know, family members and stuff like that, you know, my brothers and, you know, my cousins and stuff like that. Like, I always had a high level of focus since I was a kid. So my thing is, when I look back, you know, on how I grew up and how gaming impacted my life, these is core values that I developed from gaming that I use now today. Like, even when I'm handling business and taking care of, you know, like, major deals, the level of focus and the level of attention and all this other stuff stems from how good I was at playing games at such an early age. When I look back on it, so it's just amazing to me.
No, I agree because especially now with like e-gaming taking off, like a lot of people look at that and they say the only career you can have in gaming is to become a gamer, and you've proven that that's not necessarily true, right?
Oh, so, that's not true at all.
Yeah, so you spoke about being focused, but when I see my son playing Fortnite with his friends, yo, there's some strategy going on too.
Of course, where
they're not just focused, they're strategizing like crazy.
Yep, teamwork, strategy, understanding your opponent, competitive nature, communication. Mm-hmm. Communication skills is a must.
Like, that's a big one.
You know what I'm saying? That's a big one. Communication skills. So when you develop in those qualities, that's needed in everyday life and needed in the workforce in everyday life, you developing all of that through playing the game. See, the problem is when you're not a part of something, you're living on the outskirts of it.
Yeah.
So your judgment is completely invalid because it's based on what you think, not based on what you know. Right. For example, if I never met you in my life and we never spoke or whatever, and somebody just told me about you, the only information that I got about you is based on something else, not even you. So how can I be qualified to make any sort of judgment or critique on you when I have no experience, no context whatsoever, no personal engagement whatsoever. And that's the difference. When something is marketed to people, that marketing gets embedded in their mind. So now they think they know what they're talking about just because it was marketed to them in a certain way.
Yeah.
And then that just goes to show how easily people think they are experts at something that they are clueless about simply because marketing makes you feel like you know something. Mm-hmm. When you actually, you know, you don't know anything unless you actually have the experience.
So now my son swear he's like the man when it comes to strategizing now. Like if we go to like do laser tag, you know, him and his friends are talking. They're like, yo, you know, you get shot, we're going to use you as cover and we're going to shoot up my dad. Right. How do we take that side of it where it's like he thinks he knows it because he's doing it in a video game, but in the real world that strategy might not play out? Like how do you like mitigate that, right? Like how do you change it up when you need to? Like how do you teach your kid that?
The same thing, experience. Like the way you the best teacher to me is experience. Mm-hmm. Because no matter what you say, like our nature, just human nature, we need to experience things to have a personal relationship with the experience so we can learn and know better. And when you know better, you do better. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, you have a lot of kids that's smart. And then you have a lot of kids that's wise. Now, smart, if you're smart, like, you'll go through something, make a mistake, learn from it, and you better the next time. If you wise, you can assess the situation out the gate and avoid the mistake in the first place, and then out the gate you're great. Mm-hmm. At it. You know, some people has wisdom like that. What I would say is the same way your son was strategizing, the same way they did in the game and how it may not work in real life, like I would literally say the same thing. It may not work exactly like this, like it did in the game. Mm-hmm. Why? Because this is real life, it's not the game.
Yeah.
But go through it, because whatever you go through, whatever you learn, then you'll understand the difference. And when you understand the difference, then you'll do your experience, you'll learn how to tackle real life, and then you'll learn how to tackle the game, because there is variables that make it different.
That's what's up. I love it. I mean, I think the beauty of video games is where the kids are learning these things and you're not really forcing it upon them, where it's actually fun instead of dad, you know, telling you, yo, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I think that's why it works so much better.
Yeah, because you got to let, like, put it like this, right? You have to, in order to truly understand your child or understand anything, but to truly understand your child, you got to let them do things based on what they know already without your influence. And then when you see what their natural capability is or their natural ability or what they would naturally do in a certain situation, then you could provide the guidance because now you have the information. Mm-hmm. You don't have the information unless they do something. So let's say your son out the gate does something and he does it right. Wow. Now you know for a fact that like he has a high level on how to assess things naturally on his own. You wouldn't have known that if you stepped in too early. But let's say he go do something and he messes it up completely. He just completely destroys everything, messes it up. At least now you know where you need to implement the information. You understand what I'm saying? And too many, like a lot of times parents, they try to protect their child from certain things, but you're really not protecting them unless you give them the experience, because you're not going to be there all the time. And when you're not there, they have no knowledge of certain things on their own. So the same mistake that you try to prevent, it's going to happen 10 times worse because you're not there.
No, that's a fact. I mean, I get that. I get that with family members, where family members will look at me and be like, yo, you know, you were raised in the hood. You were raised in the South Bronx. You experience things that your kids will never experience. Why do you let them do certain things? And that's in regards to playing video games, where they want me to mute things, where it's like, yo, these kids are talking shit to each other. Mute them. Don't let them do that. Don't let them play on the internet. And it's like, nah, dogs, I can't do that. Like, my dad didn't stop me, and I turned out pretty good. Like, why should we stop our kids? Like, what's up with all this cursing online? Like, is that going to really fuck them up or what? Like, how do you handle that?
Well, see, the thing is, that's the thing. Like, put like this. This is a strong statement I'm going to make, man. Mm-hmm. So, there's two things I'm going to say. One, if anybody, you know, has this big fear of the world and what the world is going to do to contaminate your child, don't have a kid.
Facts.
Period. Whew. Because it's like, at the end of the day, for, you know what I'm going to say? Let's say right around the corner, you know, you got a gang war. You know, there's gang violence, like, right around the corner, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you know that this isn't a corner you should be walking because of what's there, right?
Yeah.
So are you going to let your kid go over there? No, because, you know that there's trouble over there.
Yeah.
Now, let's keep it real. Is there problems in the world we live in?
Hell yeah. Do
kids get murdered and killed, and do bad things happen to kids and
every
stuff?
Day. Every
yes,
day.
Every day. So why would you bring a child into the world if you know good and well the world has just as good as it can be, is just as bad too, like, you know, with what happens. So you are fully aware of what you're doing. So if you bring your child into the world, there will be times they're going to have to face the evils in it. And if you try to hide it from them, then they're not going to understand how to handle it when it happens. And then when you're dead and gone and they're lost because of your inability to allow them to grow and be their own person, that's your fault. So what I would say is, if you're on the internet, right, let's say my son, you know, as he gets older and he starts playing online, let's say somebody, you know, let's say he deal with a racist situation and he's like, oh, he black, why this nigga playing, you know, Fortnite or something, like, you know, whatever the game is gonna be, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see what his natural response would be, because if his natural response is to be negative because negativity was dealt to him, I know I need to correct that. Mm-hmm. Because no matter, it's not about what they do, it's about what you do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, somebody could talk trash to you, they could be negative to you, they could be hateful towards you. You never stop showing love, because your responsibility is to always show love even in the face of hate. Somebody disrespect you and say something like that, you know what? You have to understand, to be mature enough to understand that their situation is obviously horrible. Because anybody that will just willingly be negative towards you is a reflection of how unhappy and miserable their personal life is. And they need to be that way to take that out on you. Because if you live in a good life and you happy and your energy is right, then that's the only energy that you're going to be able to give off when everything is good. But if you live in a life and you negative and things ain't going good, parents got divorced, like, you know, you're not happy, then what type of energy you think you're going to give out to the world? It's a reflection of you. So no matter what other people do, you always show love, because that's the responsibility that you have as being a good person.
Yeah, that's a fact. I mean, you covered some of the things that I really wanted to cover, which is, like, you know, like the branding side, the communication, the strategy side. When did you realize that video games wasn't just fun and games no more, where now you could say, yo, I can make a living off of this?
Well, you know what's so funny? Like, I always knew, but I just never thought about it. And I'll give you an example. A lot of times when I was a kid, you know, and I mean like a kid, like 8, 9 years old, like, you know what I'm saying? I used to go to this, my grandmother used to take me on Pickens Avenue, because we lived on Pickens Avenue, but she used to take me further down to like the Brownsville area, because I grew up in East New York. So you used to take the B-15 bus. and we used to go down to Smart Kid Toys. That was the name of the store. And every time we went to Smart Kid Toys, I always asked for a game. Always asked for a game. And I couldn't always get one, you know, obviously, you know, because games expensive. But then something just hit me. It's like, you know, somebody got to be making a lot of money, because these games cost a lot of money and everybody want them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, somebody's making this money, but I didn't think nothing of it. I just knew that somebody's making this money. Like, you know, somebody got to be. Yeah. And then that was it. And then as I got older, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, like, I started seeing gaming in a whole new light. Like, I was like, yo, this is crazy. Because I used to go to, Blockbuster Video when Blockbuster was around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I couldn't buy a game, I would rent one. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I understood the value of a game because I couldn't afford it like that. But I was trying to find every kind of way possible to get it. So I always knew over time that there was a ton of value in gaming. I just didn't realize how impactful gaming would be, you know, in terms of how it could change your life and you make a career out of it, because I didn't understand that you could, because we wasn't taught that. Like, you know, like my grandmother, although she let me play games, the general message in the world was, stop playing video games, you're a loser, you're a nerd, you're a geek, so put the controller down, get a real job. Like that was the sentiment of how people treated gaming. So I had just left it at that, but, you know, things obviously changed. And for me personally, when it really, really changed, I would say around in 2000, like when I went to college to be a computer programmer so I could make games.
So your original quest was to actually become the video game creator?
Yeah, video game developer, okay. Yes. Okay. So, because I love games so much, I wanted to make them. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to school to be a programmer, I realized that my passion wasn't in programming. My passion was just always talking about games, knowing about the games, knowing what you could do, the impact of them. Mm-hmm. So I've always just talked about them. And then fast forward to 2008 when I, you know, met up with Torrence Davis and he had the website, thebitbag.com, and I started making my hip-hop gamer videos. That's what led me to E3. And when I got to E3 and I got a chance to understand the industry, mm-hmm. side of the of the business and like get the other side of all the information, everything changed from there. That's when I knew, like, you could be an animator, you know, if you know how to draw, if you know how to write, you know how to make music, you know how to produce. Like, oh man, the floodgates opened up when I went to E3 the first year.
You used to produce music too, though, right? Like you used to write your own rhymes and stuff like that when it came to the hip hop gaming side, or
yeah, what? That's not used to.
You still
do. Still do that.
I mean, you're working with Hot 97. There's still the tie there, but I mean, like, yeah, like weren't you in a video game or some shit, bro?
Yeah, like I'm a character in NBA 2K Playgrounds 1 and 2. I'm also a character in Watch Dogs 2. I did the theme song for Watch Dogs 2 with DNA, the battle rapper.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then I just wrote a song for Dying Light 2 that's coming out next year. And I just wrote the song for Watch Dogs Legion that's coming out next year as well.
Damn.
Yeah, like this is what I do for real.
Dogs,
like,
did you do something with Def Jam? Was it Def Jam Vendetta or some shit? Were you the one that was rocking with them at one time?
Well, I didn't write any music, you know, like for Def Jam Vendetta, any of those games back in the day. But I'm a part of Def Jam now. Like in terms of Def Jam Records, I work with Def Jam right now.
So your video game experience brought you to the actual Def Jam, but the record label side?
A little bit of both. So
okay.
From 2001 to like 2014, I supervised the mailroom at every record label.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew everybody, like, because I had to deliver mail to them. So everybody from Damon Dash at Rockefeller to Tina Davis at Universal Music Group and, you know, Bloodline, DMX's label, Interscope, Eminem, 50 Cent, and all of them. Like, I worked at all the record labels.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew everybody for like over 10 years.
So you parlayed your mailroom position into a position of power where now you could actually network with these people.
Well, it's funny because like I was always networking with them because, you know, I was just always a cool person. So we always had a relationship, a friendship, because we saw each other every day. But what made the big difference is the shift in the industry. So like all these companies, record labels, you name it, is trying to get into gaming, and they all knew me from gaming and they all saw what I've been doing. So now like a lot of them come to me like, yo, how to blah blah blah, how to blah blah blah. And you know, that's where the value like comes in, because a lot of things that I put like this, everything that a lot of people start to see now is new to them. It's not new to me. Yeah. I've been verbatim, the stuff that you're seeing now happening in the gaming industry, I've been literally talking about since like 2008, 2007. Yeah. So now that is, my name is Hip Hop Gamer. Why do you think that is? Yeah. Like, come on, man. Like, like this is not new to me. Yeah. So,
no, it's a fact. It's a fact. I mean, I think the beauty of what you do is that you're given representation. right? And it's not new. Like I see a lot of these YouTube stars, a lot of these Twitch streamers that are just coming into the game, representing video games, but they're not representing a culture. Where you came in
Thanks.
early on and you repped the culture, where you were like, "Yo, I'm a hip hop dude. I'm from New York. I love video games. Come at me." And I used to love seeing you basically like verbally battle with people online, where it's like, "Yo, y'all not just gonna throw me under the rug and act like I don't exist. Like I'm here and my community's here. Like what's good?" And that's something that I've always admired, you know, where you never were fearful to tell people how it was, especially in the video game world. So thank you.
Yeah. I don't even like listen, man. Like, you know, I live my life by putting God first, and I live my life by leading with love. You know what I'm saying? Because when you lead with love, love will lead you. And I have no fears, I have no worries. Like, the moment, like, everybody has a relationship with fear, everybody. And until you break up with your relationship with fear, that's the only moment that your greatness will unlock. The problem is, everybody has a fear of their own greatness. Whether it's because of the what other people will think or whatever it is, but your own personal fear of the greatness that you was blessed with, you know, at birth, will always keep you away from what you're called to do. So I think that's a serious conversation that someone need to have in the mirror, because the moment you break up with the relationship you have with fear, that will be the defining moment of your entire life, and the true version of who you are will start to show. And a lot of people may not like it. A lot of people's gonna say certain things, and that's when you know you made the right decision, because a lot of people are still living in fear, and their fear is what's gonna tell you you can't. But your willingness to break up with fear will be the thing that tell you you can.
Yeah, no, that's a fact, man. I remember when we actually walked down the PAX East corridor, we had music playing, we had hip hop playing, and for the people that don't know, when we did this, PAX East must have been like, I'm gonna say like 80% Caucasian,
Yeah, of
maybe
course. More than that.
maybe
Probably
more. All right, let's say
right.
90%, 95%, and minority wise, it was probably like 3 or 4%. And here we come rolling through a room full of like 100 kids rocking hip hop, and all you see is all these white kids bopping their heads. Where it was like, yeah, like we here, you know, we here, and they loved it. They soaked it up. They loved that we were part of the community. But I think more importantly, they loved that somebody was actually representing that community, and that was
Yeah,
us.
exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, representation matters when it's authentic. And if it's not authentic, then it's not representation. It becomes, appropriation. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, my thing is, I don't care who you are, where you come from, as long as you're true to yourself, then that's what matters, regardless of what anybody thinks. Like, you know how people be like, yo, I'm a real dude, son. Yo, I'm a real nigga. Yo, I'm a real this, I'm a real that. Based off what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's so funny? I never understand. I don't understand how somebody be like, yo, like, I'm a real person, but your realness is based on what somebody else thinks of you. So your realness is dictated? That's not real. Like, you know what I'm saying? So my thing is, I just tell everybody to be encouraged by, themselves and what they believe in, and stay true to you and your word. And if you do that, then you're real, because your realness is based on who you are and what you follow and what your moral compass is.
So I got the $1 million question for you, man. And this is for all the dads out there that either play video games or just watch their kids play video games. What's up with these kids watching so much YouTube, bro, when it comes to these video games? Why do they sit there and watch other people play? When I was younger, my brother had the controller. He didn't let me play. I smacked that shit out his hand, man. And I ran with it. I wasn't watching. So what's up with these kids, bro? What's going on?
Well, I wouldn't say what's up with the kids, because believe it or not, we did the same thing. It's just our form of doing it was at the arcade holding quarters. You know
True,
what I'm saying?
true. We had
So it's,
next.
yeah, exactly. We had next. So, we would go to the arcade, we would watch other people play till we got next, and then while we was playing, people watched us play. Now, what's so hypocritical about all of this is when we played Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter in the arcades, and there was a big crowd watching us play, we felt good about it. We felt good that people was watching us or cheering us on when we was battling somebody else, you know what I'm saying, whether it was a friend or somebody we didn't know, and you make a friend afterwards because we got a respect for one another in the game, whatever it is, that was a great feeling, especially when you won and people were like, oh, yo, my dude's nice. Oh, like, that's a great feeling. Yeah. That's why we watch people play, because we are entertained by what we love to see and do and participate in. Basketball, I love watching people play basketball. It's the same thing. It don't matter if it's a game or not. I love the sport of basketball, so I will watch people play it. I will play it myself, and I will watch it in a video game. Mm-hmm. For example, like when NBA Jam came out in the arcade, whether you had money to play it or not, you just wanted to see the game because the game was fire.
Yeah, you were rocking out.
Yeah, that's it. And then a lot of times, the reason why we watch the NBA is because we don't just want to watch basketball. We want to see people at the highest level play basketball. We want to see LeBron go against Kawhi to see who's the best. I mean, LeBron's the best. But my thing is, we want to see that competitive nature. Yeah. Same thing with games. I want to see the best law player in Tekken go up against, you know, the best king player in Tekken. Like, whatever it is. We love that. By nature, we love watching something that's competitive. Boxing, you have people that love to box, and the same person that love to box is going to sit at home and watch Manny Pacquiao fight somebody, or they'll watch Fight Night Champions or Xbox 360 and watch people play that. It's entertainment. Mm-hmm. And however you enjoy that entertainment, that's it. What bugs me out when people say they don't understand why people will watch another person play games. Mm. Well, we watch football players play football.
It's just another medium.
Exactly. We're watching somebody else play the game of football. And then their argument would be like, well, that's real. And so like that is real life. It's not like it's a video game. Okay, but there's a real person controlling the game.
Yeah, there's real actions.
So it's still real life.
Yeah.
It's just being done in a different way. Period. Like, it's the same thing, different platform. Like, if I watch Netflix or if I watch a Blu-ray, I'm still watching the movie. Like, it don't matter how I'm watching it, I'm still doing the same thing. Like, I'm watching something that I'm entertained by.
Yeah. See, my son tells me to learn tricks, learn hacks, and then strategize.
What you discover ability. Let's say I'm about to buy a game, right? $60. Mm-hmm. If I have the tools to learn as much about this game as possible before I buy it, that's a good thing. So if I watch somebody play a game for like an hour, and I like the person that's playing the game, like I respect the person's opinion that's playing the game, and I can sit at home and watch this, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna cop this game because this dude did a good job showing it off. Mm-hmm. And then there you go. So like even the information. Like now, we don't have to rely on a rating on Amazon.com or Best Buy. We don't have to look at a 5-star rating in a few words. We can see the whole experience ourselves before we spend money.
Yeah, and that's more authentic. Right? Yeah.
Yep.
So now, going back to like the competitive nature, you know, I like to compete and I like to win. I've seen you playing with some really big celebrities, man. Did you ever feel inclined like you should let them win? When you're recording for Hot 97 or somebody else?
Nope. I'm going to kill you every time.
You kill them all the time. So which celebrity gave you the most competition in any game?
Okay, so here's the deal. So shout out to Murder Mook, the battle rapper.
Yep.
Murder Mook, he beat me in 2K, but the only reason why he beat me is because I don't play on the 2K view. I play on a broadcast view. Uh-huh. So he beat me on the 2K view and he destroyed me, man. It was bad.
Yo, was he talking shit, bro?
Well, of course he was. He's a battle rapper. He's the best battle rapper. Of course he's going to talk trash, man. Come on. Yeah. That's Murder Mook. That's my man. So
you need your rematch. Beat me.
Who else? Who else did I play that's a major celebrity? I can't think of nobody else that beat me. That's like a major celebrity.
You ever played against the game?
Oh, I didn't play against the game yet.
Okay.
I'm gonna play against the game, and I know he's nice in 2K. None of that matters. When I'm in the zone, it's different. Because like a lot of people, like, they nice in 2K based on their settings.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? 2K is played differently depending on who you're playing with. Like, my game speed is set to 75, where most people play at 60. Uh-huh. Or, you know what I'm saying? So the feel of the game is completely different based on the game speed. Like, and then you get used to playing a certain way. So, you know, everybody is nice on their own settings. So, you know, that's that. But, like, I'm nice, man. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I know you got skills. I ain't messing with you, bro. I
will tell you this. One of my favorite celebrities that I beat that gave me a little bit of competition in the beginning was Eric Sermon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so EPMD. Yep. So we played Def Jam Fight for New York, and he started getting me a little bit, and he was like, "Yeah, you thought I was nothing. Yeah, yeah." And then I threw him in the train, and he got hit by a train. So, you know what I'm saying? It was fun though.
You took care of him.
Yep, I had to, man. It's like, yo, man. You know what I'm saying? I'll never forget what you did for hip hop. I love you, but you know, I gotta smoke you, son. Out of respect, I gotta destroy you. So, yep, that took place.
So I don't want to take up too much of your time. We didn't really get into like
the business good, side. Man. I set time aside for you, bro, because you're my man.
Now, I guess the real last question I have for you is more on the business side, okay. And this is more for the dads like that got kids that are into the video game world and stuff like that. Can you tell us a little bit more about your branding? Because, you know, like I mentioned earlier, you used to walk around with the belt. Like, what has that done for your branding for people that might not get it yet?
The biggest thing that I could tell, this is like, you're going to have to like clip this and put this on Instagram or something like that, because what I'm about to say is very important.
Okay.
So branding is very important. And especially the way you do it. But branding is very important simply because of the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
The law of attraction is monumental in all business. So, for example, right? You know, if Jay-Z walk in a room, everybody's going to stop and pay attention because it's Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? So, now if you don't got star power like Jay-Z, or you're not even known yet, like you're not even known, like, you know what I'm saying? You just, you know, regular person showing up somewhere, nobody's going to pay attention to you because nobody know you. But day one, when I arrived in the gaming industry, a lot of people that didn't know me, they knew there's some dude walking around here with this big belt on. So it creates an aura,
yeah,
and it creates an energy where it's like, I need to know this person. It's kind of like something's wrong with you for not knowing me.
Mm. So they can't look at you like you're crazy. It's more like, nah, I'm the crazy one because I don't know what this dude is about right now.
Exactly. So what it is you literally, with one strategic move, you switch the entire value of perception, mm-hmm, to work in your favor.
Love it.
So the thing is, what happens is, because you got to think about it, if you got 100 people coming into a club and nobody know these 100 people, that's all it is, 100 people walking into a club. But if you got 100 people to come into the club and this one dude got a lot of people around him and he got this belt or whatever it is, everybody's going to stop and be like, yo, who's that? The moment you can create an aura and an energy around you where everybody is asking questions about who you are, you've won. Because that means that any brand that you work with, any business deal that you make happen, whatever it is, startup or not, whatever it is, you created an energy that's attached to any brand that you're working with that they want to know about you. And if they want to know about you, that means they want to know about the brand that's attached to you. They want to know about everything that makes you you, because you walked up in here with something that made me curious to want to know. And it's not just anything. Like, I'm hip-hop gamer. So when you see me with a championship belt, it's like, why is he a champion? Why does – it's not so much of what I got, but it's like why I have it. Like, it's all the questions, the who, what, when, where, why, how.
Yeah.
All of that is what people want to know the moment you walk in the door. It's the same thing that people want to know from a celebrity. So the moment you walk in, you have a celebrity status, whether they know you or not. They're going to treat you as such because they don't know you and they need to know you. So they're going to rush up to you just the same way that they will rush up to someone that they did know.
Yeah.
So no, that is the genius. That is the genius, strategic, creative thought process on the power of branding being associated with the law of attraction. It's just like a video game. Before you play a game, you have to see it. And if you see it and you like what you see and it looks interesting, it's going to make you want to play it. And if it plays just as good as it looks, you got the sale.
Yeah, you're telling everybody after that.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fact. What Hip Hop Gamer is saying right now, for all the dads listening, this is a known fact about Brandon, because this is something that I do all the time. Like, I walk into venues, I walk into events, I'm there with a Fatherhood Is Lit hat, Fatherhood Is Lit shirt. Everybody's looking at me and they're like, oh man, you're always on brand. That's right, I'm on brand with my brand. Now they want to know who the hell I am and why other people fuck with me. And yep. It works out perfectly. Half of the work is already done. Now all I got to do is talk my shit.
Yeah, that's it. And then when you create an aura where people come to you, whether they know you or not, when they come to you, that right there shows that you have something that's valuable that other people notice and see. So brands is going to be like, wow, this person has star power. We need to work with him, because that's what our company needs.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? And then what happens is, the more people get to know you, then when you walking around, let's say somebody don't know you, but so many other people do know you, and they walk up to you in front of the people that don't know you. Mm-hmm. Then it's like, yo, like, whoever this dude is, a lot of people know him, so I need to know him.
Yep.
Because now it's cool to know you. And everybody wants to be cool. At the end of the day, everybody wants to be a part of whatever's cool.
Yep, whatever's hot.
Yeah, whatever's hot, whatever's cool, everybody wants to be a part of it. They want to be associated with it, as long as that joint is cool. So, you know, that right there is the genius of, of branding and creating the law of attraction.
Yeah. Well, hip hop man, hip hop gamer, you just helped me kill a lot of the myths surrounding video games, man. Can you tell the dads how they could get in contact with you, bro?
Yo, hip hop gamer, man, on everything. You know what I'm saying? I used to. You know, so funny. I just say Google me now, because it's too much to say. Everything, like, you know what I mean? So, yo, Hip Hop Gamer, Google me, and, you know, you're welcome. Thank me later. Let's connect. Love you back. God bless. Put God first. And it's an honor to know you.
Yo, man, it's an honor to know you, man. Thank you, Boss Man, for everything that you do in the video game world. And to the dads out there, as I always say, keep making your presence felt. We matter. Hip Hop Gamer just taught us that, man. Fatherhood Is Lit.
Fatherhood Is Lit, baby.